Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A state representative is switching her party affiliation. Right now, we are live from GOP headquarters with a look at how this move could impact hot-button topics such as abortion, education, and more.
And visibility is down to under a quarter of a mile this morning. Coming up, I'll let you know the areas where we're seeing the lowest visibility right now.
And a hearing happening today for affected families when it comes to the toxic water at Camp Lejeune. Coming up, we'll tell you what we expect to hear.
Yeah, a lot to get to this 8 o'clock hour here on Fox 50. We always appreciate your time. I'm Ken Smith.
I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us right now. And you can see it's very warm outside. It looks decent enough. We do have that dense fog advisory because that heat is up a little bit. And Peter Sherwood is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at that DFA, right?
You can see it. It goes until 10 o'clock this morning. We are seeing areas of reduced visibility, especially south and east of the triangle right now. Areas outlined in gray here under that dense fog advisory until 10 o'clock this morning. That includes Holt County, Cumberland County, Harnett County, up into Nash County. As we take a look at Fayetteville right now, this is what you guys are waking up to. Some reduced visibility by way of fog and some lower level clouds. We're seeing the number right now under a quarter of a mile in Fayetteville and Goldsboro. Visibility down to a half of a mile in Rocky Mount. All is clear in the triangle. Visibility up to 10 miles. Temperatures are in the 60s and 50s, currently 64 degrees in Raleigh and Durham. You step outside, it's already warm. And then this afternoon, it's going to be hot. 82 by lunchtime, 89 for the afternoon high. That's really close to the record high of 90 today. This cold front moving across the Midwest, bringing tornado-worn storms across Missouri and Arkansas, will eventually move into our region. Tomorrow is a WRAL weather alert day due to some of the showers and thunderstorms that we're going to see. We do have the potential of seeing damaging wind speeds and hail from the round that will move through on Thursday. Coming up, we're going to break down the timeline we can see those storms move in. Brian?
Here at 8:02, breaking news in Garner. We have a crash on the shoulder of 40 westbound right around the Jones Sausage Road interchange, and that's leading to some big delays. For a little while, it blocked the lanes out there. Again, all lanes now open, but right now we're measuring a 36-minute backup overall from 42 through the Beltline split there. There's a little bit of a backup around the Clayton Bypass, the usual congestion through that area, and then you run into more significant delays around the White Oak Road Bridge just before you get to Business 70, all the way up toward the Jones Sausage Road area. If you can pick up 40 westbound from Jones Sausage Road, you'll be on the other side of those backups. There's also a crash reported at 70 Business at White Oak Road, not too far from the I-40 interchange. Not seeing big delays with that one just yet. Taking a look at some other trouble spots around the triangle right now on the north side of Raleigh, 540 westbound, a report of some sort of a road hazard, according to our partners at Waze, right around the Creedmoor Road interchange. You're going to run into some backups from the Falls of Neuse Road area through Six Forks out toward Highway 50, about a 7-minute delay overall from Lewisburg Road out to I-40. Once you get past road hazard, whatever it is out there on Highway 50, you're in pretty good shape heading toward Leesville Road, Glenwood Avenue, and beyond. Taking a look at Durham right now, 85 and I-40 all clear, but we are seeing some congestion in both directions of 885 right now, the Durham Freeway between I-40 and 147. On that northbound side, about a 6-minute delay, and then on the southbound side, about a 3-minute slowdown, especially right around that 147 merge.
Appreciate that, Brian. Well, today we will find out the reason for a political party switch that will shape big issues, including abortion and education in North Carolina. State Representative Tricia Cotham will speak for the first time since announcing she's changing her affiliation from Democrat to Republican. WRAL's Laura Levine joining us live from the state GOP headquarters in Raleigh with the political implications of all this, Laura.
Yeah, Ken, good morning. Very soon here at GOP headquarters, we will get more information, more answers. And the big question is why? What led to this decision? Now, Cotham is switching political parties, and this being the biggest political bombshell in the General Assembly in recent years. It was just about 5 months ago when she won her election in the deep Charlotte Democratic blue seat area there as a Democrat. And with this switch, Republican lawmakers will have enough power to override any vetoes from Governor Roy Cooper without any Democratic Democratic support. Now, if Cotham votes with them, the GOP could also pass controversial proposals without opposition, including one of this session's biggest question marks, new abortion restrictions.
I think within the Republican conference, you have a wide range of interest and ideas about that particular piece of legislation. Representative Cotham does not seem to be one that will go all the way towards a complete ban, maybe a little bit more than just the 20 weeks. But I think that that is still an ongoing conversation within the Republican conference.
And Governor Cooper has responded to this news, calling it very disappointing. The Democratic Party saying that this is a betrayal. Now, that news and press conference will take place here at 9 o'clock this morning. We will have live coverage on Fox 50. And the Democratic Party is also responding with a press conference happening today at noon. Laura Levine, WREL News, live in Raleigh.
Former President Donald Trump is back at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida this morning after pleading not guilty to 34 felony counts. The 16-page indictment was unsealed yesterday. It accuses him of falsifying business records related to several hush money payments made in 2016. Trump addressed hundreds of his supporters last night when he returned to Mar-a-Lago. He claimed the only crime he has committed has been fearlessly defending the United States.
Incredibly, we are now a failing nation. We are a nation in decline. And now these radical left lunatics want to interfere with our elections by using law enforcement. We can't let that happen.
Prosecutors say Trump was linked to payments to two women and a doorman during the 2016 run for president as part of a plan to suppress negative information that could have undermined his campaign.
We cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct. The defendant repeatedly made false statements on New York business records.
The next in-person hearing for this case is not until December. Prosecutors want the case to reach trial by January. Trump's lawyers want it pushed back.
We will learn more today on how state health officials will test for lead and asbestos in public schools and child care centers. The State Department of Health and Human Services will present its plan to the State Board of Education today. The Clean Classrooms for Carolina Kids program aims to restrict exposure to toxic lead in drinking fountains, lead-based paint, and asbestos in more than 3,000 public schools and 5,700 child care facilities. It's an expansion of a program that started in 2019 to test for lead in water in child care centers.
People are glad that the testing is finally going to get underway soon. And then, you know, but then there's the added complication of what will we do when some of it is found. Some of that money will go toward fixing issues that are found, but there is concern perhaps that even more money will be needed.
Well, that program will use about $150 million in funding that came from federal COVID-19 stimulus money.
Also, Ken, on the topic of toxic water, a lot of folks have seen the lawsuit ads on TV. Today, Marines and their families affected by toxic water at Camp Lejeune will get their first day in court. It's part of a decades-long effort to hold the government accountable. WRL's Naya Harden is live in downtown Raleigh, where today's hearing will take place. Naya, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Lawyers for these families, they tell WREL that this is going to be today about trying to figure out how this structure is going to work, how they're going to organize it to move forward. As of this morning, there are nearly 25,000 claims that have been filed with the Department of the Navy and 300 with the Eastern District of North Carolina. This is a story we followed for years. The CDC believes a dry cleaning firm's waste disposal contaminated the water at Camp Lejeune, leaving anyone living in the area exposed between 1953 and 1987. That includes USMC Master Sergeant Jerry Emsinger, who lost his daughter to leukemia. He will be in court today for the hearing. Lawyers involved in the case say the government has already admitted to some fault.
So it's really just about finding out what sort of money damages our government can pay these men and women that sacrificed everything to put them in a better position than they currently are. And so I hope the judge understands the time sensitivity of this.
Now, Congress passed a law last year allowing for these lawsuits to happen. The hearing is going to be today at 3:30 this afternoon. We'll let you know what happens. Nia Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
You now have more time to weigh in on a rezoning plan for Shaw University that could bring high-rise towers as tall as 20 stories to its downtown campus in Raleigh. City Council voted late last night to extend the public hearing on the plan until May 2nd. Hundreds of people came out to share concerns about the project at that meeting. More than 150 ended up speaking against the planned Shaw U district. Many were alumni of the school who say this would destroy Shaw's rich history. School leaders say it is a necessary step to modernize the campus. If the project is approved, Shaw would spend a year working on a master plan first.
8:10 now on your Wednesday morning, a historic multi-million dollar settlement involving a deadly school shooting. Up next, we'll look at the background of this case and the total amount the family is receiving.
Eight:13 is the time right now, and a live look at Goldsboro. Good morning to you. You see that fog still hanging around there? And the work crew on the left there. A little shout out. Thanks for all you do. Peter Sherwood is in the WRO Severe Weather Center right now at Dense Fog Advisory. This is one of the hot spots for that.
Yeah, we've been watching Goldsboro all morning long due to some of the dense fog that we're seeing and some lower level clouds out there. The visibility down to a quarter of a mile in some spots under this dense fog advisory that runs until 10 a.m. this morning. As we go ahead and check out another spot looking live at the triangle, we're not seeing any fog this morning here. That fog is really just towards the south and east, where visibility is down to under a quarter of a mile in Goldsboro and Fayetteville right now. That should clear out as we head into the 10 o'clock hour. It's also warm out the door. 64 in the triangle, 62 in Rocky Mount, Roxborough at 57 degrees. You're not going to need those jackets for today because our temperatures are heating up into the 80s. It's actually going to feel like summer with a high of 89 degrees. We're getting really close to the record high of 90 and likely to see evening temperatures still in the 80s. Cooling off to 79 by 8 p.m. As we check out what we're watching across the country, this deadly storm system moving across the Midwest right now, still bringing tornado-warned storms across Arkansas and Missouri. This system will have the strength of moving towards the south and east, but it is going to weaken before it enters our region. Here's a look at today's severe risk. That level 3 out of 5 risk in place for the Ohio River Valley, including the Tennessee Valley. We cannot rule out the tornado threat there, damaging wind speeds and large hail. Tomorrow, the threat moves into North Carolina, a level 1 risk for severe storms to the north and west. Damaging wind speeds and hail will be possible. As we take this system through, you can see it moving closer and closer to us throughout the day today. We will likely see those showers and thunderstorms develop around the 3 o'clock hour for our north and western counties. Some of those could pack a punch and bring severe weather. Likely to move towards the south and east throughout the night. And by Friday, rounds of rain possible across our south and eastern counties. This stationary boundary to the south of our region will provide rounds of rain late Friday into Saturday. And that's when we're expecting the wettest conditions for this Easter weekend. We're up to a 60% chance of rain on Saturday, looking so much drier on Easter Sunday. Our temperatures are going to be very warm today and tomorrow. Tomorrow we have a WRAL weather alert day in place due to those storms that are possible. We're likely to see highs in the 50s starting off on Friday, but the 70s will soon move back in, Brian.
It is 8:16 right now, still following these big delays in Garner with a crash on 40 westbound right around the Jones Sausage Road interchange. We're seeing a little bit of improvement, but still some pretty significant backups, about a 20-minute slowdown overall. Those backups begin right around the Clayton Bypass and extend to just beyond the Jones Sausage Road area. Zooming into that and taking a look at that sensor data up close, if you can pick up 40 westbound from Jones Sausage Road, you're going to run into a little bit of a delay, but you will save a little bit of time, hopefully, heading out toward the Beltline interchange. This is all over on the shoulder. Lanes are open. It's just going to be a while before we can get things back to normal out there. A couple other crashes that we're following around the triangle right now, but they're not causing any big delays as far as we can tell. Zooming in and showing you your major approaches into Raleigh, about a 2-minute slowdown coming out of Apex on US 1 northbound. That ride through Cary looking all right this morning. Out of Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard, you're looking at about a 7-minute delay with congestion heading down toward the 540 interchange. And in Durham right now, we're looking all right for the most part, with one exception. Coming in from Hillsboro, some pretty heavy delays on 85 northbound, about a 15-minute backup from the I-40 split heading out toward the Durham Freeway.
Thanks for that, Brian. College students in Tennessee are sewing 50 handmade teddy bears for the survivors of the Nashville school shooting. Some students in the family dynamics class at Cleveland State Community College teamed up to send those homemade teddy bears to Nashville. The bears will go to the victims' families and in the classrooms of the three children killed. The bears will be delivered today. A California family is receiving a historic $13 million nearly 2 years after their teenage daughter was shot and killed by her school resource officer. The family's attorney says this is the largest settlement involving a school in the U.S. Investigators say Eddie Gonzalez was investigating some type of disturbance on campus there when he shot Mona Rodriguez near the school. 18-year-old Rodriguez was reportedly inside a vehicle when it happened. The family attorneys say the officer also violated the district policy banning shooting into a moving vehicle.
I want to thank the school district for taking accountability. Nowadays, that doesn't really happen a lot. I personally don't really care about the settlements, not bringing back my sister. It is a bit of hope that hopefully in the future we can really avoid this.
The district says it fired Gonzalez a week after the shooting. He was arrested and pleaded not guilty for murder.
Activists will be outside the General Assembly today protesting a pair of controversial bills. Immigrant rights groups and community leaders will gather to protest a bill requiring sheriffs to cooperate with federal immigration agents. That bill passed the state house and is now in the state Senate. Activists say they are also demanding accountability from lawmakers who voted to override Governor Cooper's veto of a bill loosening requirements to purchase a pistol. Well, the bipartisan state senators are working to increase legal protections for people who help overdose victims. A bill now in the state Senate would expand the state's Good Samaritan law. Advocates say they want people to feel safe calling 911 when someone is overdosing without fear of facing arrest. Harm reduction and recovery advocates will join state lawmakers for a news conference today calling for action on that bill.
Free speech or harmful material, regardless of how you feel about what books children should have access to, efforts to censor books are growing across a number of communities nationwide. Ted Lindner takes a look at what kinds of books we're talking about here and why some librarians say restricting information can be damaging.
Efforts to ban certain books from school and public libraries are heating up nationwide.
It worries me so much to see that teens don't have access to something as basic as intellectual freedom.
Many of the books under question relate to topics surrounding the LGBTQ plus community, gender, and race. Across school board meetings and town halls, those advocating for the removal say the contents are not appropriate for children and teens.
Explicit graphic novels demonstrating the sexualization of minors do not belong in the school district.
But many are being met with swift opposition.
If sixth graders are old enough to learn about heterosexual sex and heterosexual lifestyles, then they should be old enough to learn about homosexual sex and homosexual lifestyles.
This comes as data from the American Library Association says there were more than 1,200 attempts to censor books last year alone, a new record.
Trust the educators that have vetted the literature in our district.
I think the books should be allowed in libraries, no matter what they're saying.
And while the issue of restricting books is getting a lot of political attention, some parents say it has nothing to do with politics.
It has to do with protecting our kids.
Many librarians, on the other hand, warn restricting access to information poses serious consequences for young people.
They are therefore missing things that may help educate them better and may help give them more insights to go out and make our community stronger.
April 24th kickstarts the beginning of National Library Week. Those against book bans say it's a great time to show support to your local libraries.
That was Ted Lindner reporting. Meanwhile, the president of the American Federation of Teachers has recently launched a new hotline called Freedom to Teach and Learn.
anyone can call to report efforts to ban books or censor educational materials.
Our teacher of the week had a change of heart in college, and it looked like she made the right choice. She's her district's teacher of the year. WREL's Brian Schrader introduces us to a Person County educator who's making a difference in students' lives.
She's awesome.
DeBronya Brower thought she wanted to be a nurse, but as a student at UNC Greensboro, she took a different path.
While I was there, I realized that I was running from my calling.
Brower fell in love with elementary education. She's been teaching for 8 years, and she's now working as a behavior intervention and community engagement specialist at South Elementary School in Roxborough. Brower works with teachers to develop plans for students who need some extra help.
All that hard work that they've put into those students, all of the love, the care that they pour into them each day is paying off.
And Brower's hard work has paid off. She's the current Person County Schools Teacher of the Year.
It's a small county, but once you come in, you're family. And they take you under their wing, and it's just been an incredible experience. And I'm just so proud to represent Person County.
DeBronya Brower is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
Well, you can look at all our honored teachers and nominate a teacher you'd like us to recognize. Just go to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
At any time, your phone can be activated with voice commands. There are ways to block smart devices from listening, though. We'll explain.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning at 8:26. I'm Ken Smith. We do hope you're having a good morning, but depending on where you are, you look out your window, you're seeing some dense fog. Let's get over to meteorologist Peter Sherwood in the WRAL Severe Weather Center.
So this dense fog advisory goes until 10 o'clock this morning for our south and eastern counties. Visibility now, especially in Fayetteville, reduced. We are also seeing some lower level clouds out there. It's under a quarter of a mile in Fayetteville, a quarter of a mile in Clinton, and visibility just fine in the Triangle. It's very warm this morning with temperatures in the 60s, currently 64 degrees in Raleigh and Durham. Come lunchtime, we're going to be in the 80s, heading to 89 degrees today. That's awfully really close to the record high of 90, Brian.
Peter, just getting word of a crash on 85 southbound around Club Boulevard in Durham. Maybe a little bit of a slowdown starting to show up in that area. A couple other crashes that we're watching, including one in Garner. It's on the shoulder of 40 westbound, just beyond the Jones Sausage Road interchange. We're still looking at a 17-minute backup as you come in from the Cleveland community through Garner. If you can pick up 40 westbound from Jones Sausage Road, it's not going to be that bad heading out toward the Beltline. Also watching some delays on 540 westbound in North Raleigh, about a 5-minute slowdown overall, especially right around the Creedmoor Road interchange, and still a little bit of a lingering delay coming out of Hillsboro toward Durham on 85 northbound, about a 3-minute slowdown.
State Representative Tricia Cotham will hold a news conference making her switch from Democrat to Republican official. The switch now gives the GOP a supermajority, which could shape major issues, including abortion and education. A news conference is scheduled for about a half hour from now. The first hearing will happen today in a series of lawsuits over toxic water at Camp Lejeune. People who are directly affected will speak today. We'll have more local news on Fox 50, and the Today Show continues on WRAL.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Right now on Fox 50, the biggest political bombshell at the state legislature in recent years. How one Democrat's decision to become a Republican could affect big issues across our state, including abortion and education.
Also, keeping your kids safe from toxic materials. The plan state leaders have to test for lead and asbestos in thousands of school buildings.
And we have a live look right now from our WRAL Live Cam Network, Fayetteville, with a dense fog advisory out there. I was hoping this was going to get a little bit better. I guess we'll wait. Hey, it doesn't run out until 10 o'clock, yeah. So we'll just wait on that one. We appreciate you sticking with us here at 8:30. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Ken Smith. You can barely make out any of the buildings down there.
Right, yeah.
And even behind us here, yeah. It's sort of lifting a little bit here in the capital city. Let's get over to the meteorologist Peter Sherwood at the WRAL Severe Weather Center, tracking it all for us.
So the dense fog advisory for our south and eastern counties go until 10 o'clock this morning due to reduced visibility. A lot of scenes coming out, like like Fayetteville this morning, where we are seeing visibility under a quarter of a mile. Another look at Goldsboro, and we are seeing a lot of lower level clouds out there in some of those rural spots. We are seeing reduced visibility. You want to slow down this morning as you hit the roads. We are just fine in Raleigh and Durham, visibility up to a 10. 64 degrees in the triangle. It is warm as you step out the door. You don't need those jackets today. Leave those in the closet. We're heading to 82 degrees by lunchtime with a high of 89. The record high today is 90 degrees. So we're going to get close to some records as we head into the afternoon. Warm air continues to move in out of the south ahead of this potent front moving across the Midwest, bringing severe storms overnight and this morning. Some of those storms were tornado warned, and we're going to continue to see this thing track towards the east. A level one risk for severe storms are on tap for our north and western county. That level one risk could bring some damaging winds and heavy rain and hail tomorrow. Coming up, I'll take a look at our first alert day and let you know the timing of our storms.
It is now 8:32. I want to give you an update about a couple of crashes I've been following. One in Garner on 40 westbound, right around the Jones Sausage Road interchange. Everything's on the shoulder, but we still have some lingering delays, especially from the Clayton bypass through the Business 70 interchange. About a 16-minute backup showing up right now on sensors. As we zoom into that area, if you can pick up 40 westbound from Jones Sausage Road, you're going to be on the other side of most of those delays. You might consider using 70 Business to Hammond Road. It's another way to get to I-40 this morning. Also, in Durham, look out for a crash on 85 southbound right around Glen School Road. A little bit of a backup forming now as you head away from the Red Mill Road area out to Glen School Road, but it clears up quickly as you head beyond that crash out toward the 885 interchange.
Thanks, Brian. Very soon this morning, we hope to find out the reason for a party switch that will shape big issues, including abortion and education here in North Carolina. State Representative Tricia Cotham will speak for the first time since announcing she's changing her affiliation from Democrat to Republican. WRL's Laura Levine joins us from the state GOP headquarters in Raleigh with what we know so far.
And the biggest question that we'll be looking to answer this morning is why? What led to this decision? Cotham's switch is the biggest political bombshell in the General Assembly in recent years. It was just about 5 months ago when she won her election in a deep blue Charlotte area seat as a Democrat. With this switch, this means that Republican lawmakers will have the power to override any vetoes from Governor Roy Cooper without any Democratic support. If Cotham votes with them, the GOP could also pass controversial proposals without opposition, including one of this session's biggest question marks, new abortion restrictions.
It was alluded to before the start of the session that the speaker could count on anywhere from 1 to 3 Democrats supporting the Republicans to garner that supermajority. All they needed was one. And now they have formalized that supermajority status with this party switch by Representative Cotham. So certainly this sends a signal to the governor.
And Governor Roy Cooper has called this move disappointing, Democrats calling it a betrayal. We will have live coverage on this announcement coming at 9 o'clock this morning here at GOP headquarters. The Democratic Party also responding with a press conference today at noon. Laura Levine, WRL News, Raleigh.
Well, former President Trump is back at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida this morning after pleading not guilty to 34 felony counts. The 16-page indictment, now unsealed, accuses him of falsifying business records related to several hush money payments made in 2016. Trump addressed hundreds of his supporters last night when he returned to Mar-a-Lago. He claimed the only crime he has committed has been fearlessly defending the United States.
The criminal is the district attorney because he illegally leaked massive amounts of grand jury information for which he should be prosecuted, or at a minimum, he should resign.
Well, prosecutors say Trump was linked to payments to two women and a doorman during the 2016 campaign as part of a plan to suppress negative information that could have undermined his campaign.
New York State law is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about.
The next in-person hearing in this case is set for December 4th. Prosecutors want the case to reach trial by January. Trump's attorneys want it pushed back.
Parents will get their first look today at a plan years in the making to test for dangerous chemicals in schools. This plan comes as concerns grow about the potential for exposure to lead and asbestos. WRL's Naya Harden joins us from downtown Raleigh with what changes we can expect.
Thousands of public schools and daycares will be tested for toxic substances. This includes lead in drinking fountains, lead-based paint, and asbestos. This comes nearly a year after the General Assembly agreed to use $150 million in federal stimulus funds and from the budget for testing. Any leftover will go towards treating anything that comes up. Most childcare facilities have already tested their water for lead under a state rule. Schools have never been required to test their water for lead, but several around the state have found it in drinking water over the past several years. It's unknown how much treating a toxic water problem could cost. Schools are not required to fix any problems they find, but would have to stop people from using contaminated spaces. WRL education reporter Emily Walkenhorst explained what concerned parents can do.
If you are a parent or a student who's concerned about having been in a school that has had some of these things, you might just try to find out which water fountains maybe had lead, which classrooms were found to have lead paint or something like that, and just see if maybe you were exposed. You can go to your physician and get a test.
The Health and Human Services Department will release its plan at 10 o'clock this morning. We'll have updates for you on the WRL News app. Naya Harden, WRL News in Raleigh.
After a decades-long battle by Marines and their families, the first hearing will happen today in a series of lawsuits over toxic water at Camp Lejeune. People who were directly affected will speak today. It's believed thousands were exposed at Camp Lejeune from the 1950s through the 80s. Last year, many of these families received congressional approval to receive compensation for health issues. Jerry Insinger is one of those expected to speak. For years, WRL investigates followed his fight for justice. His daughter died at age 9 from leukemia, which is one of the diseases linked to Camp Lejeune's toxic water. Today's hearing starts at 3:30. A push to expand benefits for public safety staff could take a step forward today. A House committee will consider a bill inspired by one of the victims of the Headingham mass shooting last October. We're talking about Officer Gabe Torres. The 29-year-old was in his car about to drive to work when he was ambushed. The Gabe Torres Act would expand death benefits for public safety employees who are on their way to or from work. Torres's death was not covered under the current death benefit law because he was not on duty yet. The committee hearing is set for 8:30 this morning. Well, we are learning more about a shooting at a Nashville, Tennessee elementary school. Former student Audrey Hale is accused of walking into the Covenant School and opening fire on students and staff. Six people were killed. This morning, we're hearing from one of the officers who shot and killed Hale. Officer Rex Engelbert says if it wasn't for the teachers who stayed behind, he wouldn't have been able to stop the attack.
When I arrived, I don't know the layout of the school. Luckily, due to the bravery of two staff members, they stayed on scene, they didn't run, and they gave me concise, clear information for me to use to help anyone in danger.
Investigators found a suicide note when they executed a search warrant at Hale's home, along with more weapons and ammunition. Well, time now, 8:40. Up next, a win for former President Trump in his legal battle against Stormy Daniels. A new ruling appeals court made against the adult film actress.
Break. How about a live look right now? Andrew here from our WR Live Cam Network. Meteorologist Peter Sherwood will join us after the break with just how close we could get to a record high today.
We're back at 8:43 with this live look at a very inviting Lake Gaston. Clear skies, so to speak. Just a beautiful day to get out on the lake because it's going to feel like a taste of the island, so to speak. But much different scenario playing out along our communities along the eastern seaboard.
Yeah, we are seeing a dense fog advisory in effect this morning, especially for those counties along I-95, visibility down to a quarter of a mile. And we're seeing a different scene right now out of Fayetteville compared to Lake Gaston. A lot of fog this morning, some lower level clouds to kick off the start of the day. Visibility under a quarter of a mile in Cumberland County and Wayne County. We're seeing fine conditions out in the triangle, visibility up to 10 miles. Mostly sunny conditions right now in Raleigh, 64 degrees, and we're seeing 64 in Durham. Wilson currently sitting at 62. It is warm for all of us this morning, and this afternoon will be no exception. We're talking about near record warmth, getting to 82 degrees at 12 o'clock if you want to get outside for a nice walk and head to the park. 89 will be the afternoon high. Temperatures into 6 and 7 o'clock, still in the 80s. We're down to 79 by the time we head into 8 p.m. We could get really close to the record high in Raleigh. 90 degrees is that record. And then in Fayetteville, the record could tie. 91 is that record high for Fayetteville. While it's going to be warm today and tomorrow, we are going to see some changes move in as we head into Friday. In terms of our temperatures, we're back into the 50s and showers and thunderstorms likely to get going for us on Thursday. We have a WRAL weather alert day in place for Thursday. Those showers and thunderstorms are going to be isolated in nature to the north and west, kicking off around 3 p.m. Those storms will slide towards the south and east throughout the evening, moving across the Wake County area and Harnett County area as we head into the 6 and 7 o'clock hour, and likely to move to the south and east as we head into the night. The severe potential should die down once we head into 10 p.m., but rounds of rain will continue into Friday. Friday is going to be soggy, especially to the south and east with those showers building in. It is going to be a soaker as we head into the weekend. Looking at our severe risks, a level one in place for our north and western counties. Damaging wind speeds and large hail will be possible with the front moving through. Depending on where this stationary boundary sets up for this Easter weekend, our rain chances are expected to be associated with that. Waves of rain will be moving along this boundary into our area. The wettest time period for this weekend is looking like Friday night into Saturday. With this high pressure system to the north, winds will move in out of the north and east. It is going to be a cool one. That is why highs are set back into the 50s. We are going to see our rain chances go up into Saturday, but come down on Sunday. Showers possible across our southern counties on Easter Sunday. 80s today and tomorrow, 50s Friday and Saturday, highs in the mid 60s come Sunday, but the 70s moving back in as we head into Tuesday.
Governor Cooper has ordered all flags lowered to half staff until tomorrow to honor a fallen soldier from eastern North Carolina. Staff Sergeant Caleb Gore was among nine soldiers killed when two Black Hawk helicopters collided. It happened during a routine training exercise March 29th in Kentucky. Gore's father is a pastor from Wayne County. Tim Gore told WRAL his son is a hero who found out just a day before he died his wife was 3 months pregnant with a son. We could soon get a better idea of what happened to cause that crash. Investigators found the two black boxes. Army officials have said the soldiers were using night vision goggles during the training exercise. The soldiers' remains have been taken to Dover Air Force Base.
Well, Stormy Daniels will be required to pay another $120,000 in legal fees to former President Trump's attorneys. A federal appeals court sided with Trump in the case. Daniels filed a defamation suit against Trump, which was dismissed in 2018. She's already been ordered to pay more than $500,000 in legal fees to Trump's attorney after losing an appeal to that ruling.
Progressives in Chicago are waking up with a victory this morning after that city elected Brandon Johnson the next mayor. The Cook County commissioner and former teacher was declared the winner just hours ago. He defeated former Chicago Schools CEO Paul Vallis in a close runoff race. Johnson told supporters his victory ushers in a new chapter in the city, in the history of the city.
The truth is, the people have always worked for Chicago. Whether you wake up early to open the doors of your businesses, or teach middle school, or wear a badge to protect our streets, or nurse patients in need, or provide child care services, you have always worked for this city. And now Chicago will begin to work for its people, all the people.
Johnson succeeds Lori Lightfoot. She was Chicago's first black female and openly gay mayor. Lightfoot also became the city's first mayor in 40 years to lose a re-election bid.
Well, the Hope Mills Library is reopening today after being closed since Friday because of a sewer main break. Cumberland County officials say a temporary solution is now in place to restore service to the library. It opens around 9 o'clock this morning. Well, some help for states hit by storms and tornadoes last week. The regular tax filing deadline for most of us is April 18th, but storm victims in parts of Mississippi and Arkansas will now have until July 31st to file individual and business tax returns. Residents and businesses in parts of California, Alabama, and Georgia will have until October 16th to file their taxes.
At any time, your phone can be activated with voice commands, but there are ways to block smart devices from listening to you. The New York Post gives some tips on just how to do this. If you're a Facebook user, you can block it from having access to your microphone through your device's settings. Voice assistants like Siri and Amazon Echo also have the option to be turned off in settings. The same can be said for other devices such as smart TVs and home security systems. Temporarily turning the microphones off for them makes sure they're not waiting and listening for voice commands when you rarely use them.
Easter is almost here, and there are a few more egg hunts happening in the area. WREL Lifestyle editor Kathy Hanran is here with a roundup of all the Easter egg hunts happening. And Kathy, let's start with the one happening in Raleigh tonight.
Yeah, okay. Marsh Creek Community Center is hosting a free egg hunt tonight, 5:30 to 8. There's going to be crafts and prizes. It's open for children 12 years and younger. They're going to have activity stations, a chance to get your photo with the Easter Bunny, all the good stuff. Pre-registration is requested but not required.
All right. There's also another one happening tomorrow as well.
It's like nonstop egg hunts. I mean, it's just keep going. This free egg hunt is happening at Roberts Park starting at 5 p.m. It's open for those 12 years and younger. They're going to have crafts and snacks and more fun. Now, of course, pre-registration, they would like you to do it, but it's not required.
And this weekend, Duke Homestead is hosting an egg hunt, and that's happening on Saturday.
Saturday. So we've got this free egg hunt. It starts at 10:15. Children are going to be divided into groups by their ages, and it's up to 12 years old. Children are going to roam the grounds and look for eggs and then turn them in for prizes. They're going to have historic games and even a puppet show. And admission is free to Duke Homestead and for the egg hunt. So it's a great way to spend the day.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Frankie is just still trying to get used to this Easter egg hunt concept, because all he wants to do is pick up the eggs, shake them, and put them right back down in the grass.
You have practiced egg hunt. I told you. And practice egg hunt before the actual egg hunt.
And I have plenty of opportunities to practice this in the next few days. Kathy, thanks a lot. Of course, you can learn more about these events by going to WREL.com and searching keyword egg hunt.
All right, not jelly beans here. Are your kids eating fruits and vegetables daily? According to the CDC, many children between the ages of 1 and 5 are not. A pediatric registered dietitian says there are a couple of reasons why kids may not be eating as many fruits and veggies as they should. One factor could be their own parents aren't eating them regularly, so the child isn't exposed to them. Another is the child wasn't introduced to them at a young enough age, so it doesn't taste as appealing. Finally, fresh food availability could also pose a challenge for some communities. She says it is very important for a child to eat fruits and vegetables to help with their health and development.
So if they're not eating fruits and veggies, they're not getting the fiber intake that they need. And kids and adults alike do not get enough fiber. Fiber is going to help regulate the blood sugar, help with hunger and satiety, help with bowel movement patterns. So fiber is really important. Also, just simply vitamins and minerals. Also, micronutrients like zinc and other things are going to be in fruits and vegetables. So what they're missing out on is a problem.
And experts suggest introducing fruits and vegetables at an early age, and also letting kids pick what they want to try. It's say it's best to avoid lecturing about how healthy a food is, because a child may assume it's not tasty if you present it that way.
Right? It's a work in progress at our house, actually.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. But it's important, you know. Dad's got to eat them too. That's the key. Lace up your sneakers. It is National Walking Day.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't have to be a long walk, Deb. Just carve out 30 minutes at some point during the day. Drink lots of water. This is all part of the American Heart Association, encouraging all of us, take a walk.